We are in a series of summer psalms, and this morning we come to Psalm 2. Would you please turn to that in your Bible? Psalm 2 is just right for us to study this morning because it gives us a record of God's dealing with nations and empires. This psalm will teach us how history will end, how it will be fulfilled. It will teach us the proper view right now as to how to view history. And it will comfort us of God's promise to his people. So it's really a great thing to do this morning is to look at Psalm 2. And we also think of this in regard to our own nation as God has dealt with nations. And the freedom that we enjoy largely because of previous generations who fought for freedom. And I think that we must be aware this morning that many of our freedoms are being taken from us. There is no perfect human government. Even democracy is not perfect because it takes honest people to, quote, lead a democracy. We are in a present state of partial socialism. Socialism means government control of property and business. Capitalism means private control of property and business. Now, many of us are upset because of the creeping socialism that's taking away the freedom of private property and business. Many small businesses are being forced out of business by more regulations, and many small farmers are being forced out of farming by government regulations and control. So we need to be ready to fight for freedom. It's worth fighting for. And I tell you this morning that I am willing to fight for freedom so that my family, my grandchildren, will have the privilege of living as I have lived in freedom. But I think it's important that as Christian people, we be willing to stand up and fight for spiritual freedom and not allow the government to run our churches. The separatists, or the pilgrims as they were called, were fighting against that. A state-controlled church which limited their freedom. And we want to be aware of that and fight. Well, let's read Psalm 2 and we'll get into what God is saying, doing. Psalm 2, verse 1. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I've begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Now therefore, O kings, be wise. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Embrace the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him. There you have it. Who's going to win? We're in a struggle, many struggles. How's it going to come out? Well, the psalmist begins with a question. Why? Why is life like it is this morning? Why isn't everything just right? Why isn't there perfect justice? Why do the nations rage? And this word reminds us of the fury of the ocean and how the tides are just filled with anger. Why are the nations filled with fury? And the second question, why do the people plan or plot a vain thing? He's going to answer it. But he makes a statement that applies to this. The kings of the earth set themselves. Establish themselves. A mindset. That's what we say today. They're established in the direction they want to go. They've set themselves. And the rulers of the earth take counsel together. They need each other. And then he explains why. Why do the nations rage? The people plot a vain thing? Why do the kings set themselves together and the rulers take counsel together? It is against the Lord and his anointed Jesus Christ. That's why. That's why. That's what this is all about. The fury of the human sin nature is vicious against Christ. That's what's happened. It's violent to the point that they crucified him with their wicked hands. The crowning display of human sin is in the crucifixion of Christ. And we see this here in the psalm. They take counsel together. Is that the United Nations? Is that the Antichrist agency? It's here. And we need to consider that today because we're living on the earth. So he begins first with the pride of men. To even let this enter their heart, that they could possibly overthrow the Lord God and be against him. Now the second thing he mentions is not just their pride, but the rebellion. The rebellion is in their heart, verse 3. What are the kings and the rulers and the nations actually saying? They are saying, let us break their bonds in pieces. Let us cast away their cords from us. We want to be free from God. We don't want Him and His laws controlling our nation. And we don't want to be under His authority. Let's do away with God. And we'll live the way we want to live. And we will express our sin anywhere, any way we want to do it. That's life today in the secular humanistic world. Why do the nations rage, the people plot a vain thing, the kings of the earth set themselves, the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and His Christ, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast their cords from us. And we come to verse 4, God's response. And so the Lord God in heaven is pacing back and forth, wringing His hands. Oh, what shall we do? What shall we do? No. I love verse 4. I don't know how to explain it very well, but He who is in the heavens shall laugh. Now, we, in our human experience, we laugh at that which is ridiculous. But we don't really do it in a righteous way. We do it sort of in contempt, and we laugh at each other. You know what brings laughter to humanity? Really, are tragic things, some difficulties. If someone trips and stumbles, we kind of laugh. And we want to be sure that we don't get God's laughter. This is holy laughter. This is righteous laughter. And while it's laughter, it is tragic. It reveals His security as He understands how futile life is in attempting to go against Him and live apart from God. It's the creature against the Creator. Now that's laughable. And that's where He is. The second part of the verse says, He shall hold them in derision. They become confused because He understands their futility. But then we come to verse 6. Then He shall speak to them in His wrath. The wrath of God is almost too much to contemplate when you read the Scripture. There is one book, the whole book is about God's wrath, by John MacArthur. And if you have opportunity to pick that up at a Christian bookstore, do so. Have it in your library. Why? Because the wrath of God is not known today. And all that we hear or read about is the love of God. And the popular way to end a program or a sermon is, God loves you and so do I. While at that very moment, John 3:36 says, the wrath of God abides on the unbeliever. God is more than love. He is just. and his righteous wrath will be expressed. It's holy wrath. It's just wrath. It's deserved. And God's wrath is the hatred of evil and the hatred of pride. God hates pride. Now, I was speaking about this one day, and a man came up to me and said, "Well, Bill, aren't we supposed to be proud? Aren't we supposed to try to do the best we can about everything? And isn't there an excellence that ought to be a part of life?" Yes. We should be diligent and attempt to do the best we can with everything there is to do. Well, and where does pride enter in? Pride enters in with regard to who gets credit. If you have been given talent and gifted and you work hard to accomplish something, who gets credit? Well, Nebuchadnezzar built the greatest empire there was in Babylon. And one day he's walking around his palace and he's saying, "Look at what I have done. Look at my great kingdom." God dealt with him. There is no room for boasting or bragging in the Christian life. He must get the credit. Now, I was interested the other day in that there were some awards given to athletes. And there was an award for the category of the comeback, the athlete who came back from a bad year or something. And in basketball, it went to Cedric, I think his first name is Cedric Hardaway. You've probably heard of him. And when they gave him that reward, he was holding the trophy and he said, "I must thank God." Just national TV right out there. Of course, the other people didn't know how to respond, but he said it several times, how God gets the credit. I thought that's wonderful. If more of us could be like that. So here is God's response. "He shall laugh with holy laughter, hold them in derision, and speak to them in his wrath." Then he comes with a declaration. Here's the way things are going. Here are the rulers of the earth, and here is the rebellion of men. Now listen. God is speaking in verse 6, and he says, "I have set my king and my holy mountain of Zion, the Lord Jesus Christ is the King of kings and Lord of lords, and no human being will be established in eternal authority." Now God said, "I have set my king." That means he is established. There will be no change, and there are no rivals to his authority. And we go all the way through history and think of the civilization against Cain, Antichrist, of Nimrod, of Pharaoh, of Nebuchadnezzar, and Herod in the time of Christ, and all the communist rulers of China and Russia and Cuba and the empires that have come and gone. Where are they? Where is the Babylonian Empire? Where is the Medo-Persian Empire? Where is the Grecian Empire? Where is the Roman Empire? Come and gone. And Christ lives on. and shall come again physically and bodily to rule with a rod of iron and to dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. So the Lord is saying here, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. It is the exaltation of Jesus Christ that's the important thing. That's the will of God. And for you and I to live with the right perspective today, if it is not our deep intent and purpose to exalt Jesus Christ, we are in rebellion, really, against the will of God. He is overall, this is simply the fact. This is the fact. The ungodly rulers and kings are not going to establish final authority. Christ is our final authority, and this is how it will all end. He is victorious. We are victors. A friend of ours was preaching in a church a few weeks ago, and he made this statement to the people. Remember, we have already won. When we are with Christ, we are already victors in His victory. And so we are thankful that with the people of God, we get on His blessing. Blessed are all those who put their trust in Him. And God in His patience and mercy exhorts the peoples of the world, embrace our Lord Jesus Christ now while there is opportunity. And so in Psalm 2, we have the revelation of how history will end and our role now and how comforting it is. And this is what we take with us today. God is sovereign over the nations, over the United Nations, over Washington, D.C., and over what is taking place in the Balkans, in the Koreas, in India, Pakistan, all over the world. There's trouble and many wars, as someone calls it. How will it all end? It will end according to the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, who will rule with a rod of an iron and establish His authority and His peace. A question for us this morning. Does He rule in my heart now? Am I willing to bow before Him and say, Lord, Your way, not mine, and take me into Your family as one who will join in the victory. A blessed are all those who put their trust in Him. Now, we cannot be convinced of this truth unless God is pleased by the Holy Spirit to enlighten our minds, to invade the depths of our heart, to accept His word as the truth. May He be pleased to do that now, as we have been together this morning in the declaration of His word. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You that the Bible is the word of God Himself. And we thank You for revealing to us who You are and what You are doing and how to have a relationship with You by embracing the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that that will be true for all of us here this morning, and that we will take with us the truths of Psalm 2 and be born again into the family of God and be able to live now in these present days with a proper worldview and with a proper perspective on history, and to have the great hope of being with you in victory over evil and sin. Bless us to that end, we pray now in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.